Chapter 9. Ouch! My eyes sprang open as my cheek slammed into the floor. I stared up at my empty bed from the middle of my new bedroom floor. I closed my eyes and tried to recall how I'd gotten there. I really needed to figure out why I was not able to wake up in the same place I went to bed. Moments before I landed on the floor, I was standing on the right side of a volleyball net in my school's gym. Emma and Savannah were on my team, and Miss Blunt was the coach. It was my turn to serve. My arms were shorter than everyone else's, and I could hear the opposing team screaming for me to hurry. I was so afraid to try, but jumped in the air anyway, flung my arm back, and landed on the floor. Was I dreaming? I thought as I looked around in the dark. There was no trace of a volleyball, a net, or even a gym floor. I was just lying on the beige carpet in between two empty beds. A few seconds later, I heard a voice in the dark. "Lena, are you okay?" I tried to lift my head, but it felt too heavy. "Did you just fall out of bed?" The voice spoke again. "Come on, get up and get back in bed." I felt two strong arms pulling me off the floor and guiding me toward my bed. "Mommy?" "Yes, Lena, it's me. Did you have a bad dream?" "No, well, I don't know. This just keeps happening, almost every night." Mom pulled my blanket up over my tummy and whispered, "God, will you help Lena to relax? I pray that you comfort her and bring peace to her mind so that she can rest well. Amen." Mom kissed me on my forehead and added, "You have to stop worrying about things so much and learn to trust God. When you are stressed, you don't sleep well, and it can make you cranky. Now take a few deep breaths and try to go back to sleep." As soon as I heard Mom exit the room, my eyes popped open wider. I was back in bed and suddenly wide awake. It was too quiet to sleep. There were no covers rustling from Ansley's side of the room, and I couldn't hear Ashton and Amber whimpering or snorting from across the hall. The new house was nice, but it was not home. It smelled like a mix of paint and cardboard boxes. Mom said we just needed to add a couple of things to make it feel homey. She thought a few bathroom floor mats, shower curtains, and a bunch of random new home must-have items will do the trick. I thought it just needed my dad, sisters, and Austin. It had only been one day without them, but it felt like forever. I felt lonely, and I was afraid. I kept trying to imagine what my first day on set would be like. I wondered how Mr. Fenway would treat me, or if once he met me, he would change his mind about me being in the movie. I slowly sat up and dangled my feet off the edge of the bed. I stared through the open bedroom door and tried to remember which way led to my mom's room. My room felt too lonely to stay. I wandered down the hall and stood there for a few seconds before deciding it was to the right. I tiptoed in, and with both of my hands stretched out, I guided myself right into the bed next to Mom. Mom didn't utter a word until I was completely snuggled under her blankets and settled into the crease of her elbow. "Can't sleep, huh? Are you okay?" I nodded, but we both knew I didn't mean it. "Are you excited for your first day on set?" Thankfully, Mom continued to probe because all I needed was one more question. "I am, I think. Well," I rolled over so that I could see her. Her eyes were still shut, but I knew she was listening. "I'm really scared. I don't want to mess up." "Oh, Lena, you don't need to be scared," Mom assured me as she opened her eyes to look at me now. "But what if I can't memorize my lines? Or say them right. I mean, it's not like I am an actress. I have no idea what I am doing. What if they are mean?" Mom interrupted my outburst. "Lena, do you think you got a major part in a major movie because of something you did?" Her question made me pause. I wasn't sure what she meant, and I was hoping she would keep talking, but she didn't. She just stared at me for a moment. The room was dark, but the whiteness of her eyes was bright and reminded me of two big headlights on a dark road. I sat up and stared back at her.
Well?
She said. She wanted an answer.
Well, I guess.
I was sure this wasn't the answer she wanted, but I wasn't sure what else to say. I let my words linger and hoped that my silence would urge her to explain.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Was that all she was going to say?
I mean, I auditioned for it, I continued.
Lena, hundreds of girls sent their videos in to Mallory. Do you really think you got the part just because of your video?
Well, I prayed for it. Is that what you mean?
We pray for lots of things. Praying doesn't always mean that God gives you exactly what you want. Praying is a way that you put God in charge of giving you what He wants for you. It's also a way to let Him know that you trust Him.
Mom continued to talk.
I think you are worried so much because you are forgetting something really important. You are forgetting that He is in charge.
Lena, you didn't get a part in a movie because you auditioned, and you didn't get it because you have worked hard as an actress. You even just said that you aren't an actress.
You are here in California because this is where God wants you. He gave you this opportunity. The only thing you did was say yes to it.
Mom seemed wide awake. She spoke with confidence, and I believed every word she was saying.
You don't have to worry about not being the right one for it. He has already said you are.
So now you just have to be His daughter. He will take care of all the other pieces. No need to stress about how you will do. Remember, God's got it. You just do your best, and He will make you what He needs you to be.
Mommy, I am so confused.
You and Daddy keep telling me to have faith, to trust God, and that He has plans for me. But somehow, this is all still very hard. I think I just don't get it. I really wanted to meet Mallory, but my life was so much easier before all this started.
I wasn't crying, but my voice was a bit screechy. I had so many questions, but my words were all jumbled in my foggy, sleepless brain. I flopped back onto her pillows and let out a deep, rumbly breath.
I know, Lena. It's all a part of growing up and growing in your relationship with God. Trusting Him is not easy. Remember Peter? Sometimes trusting God means you have to do something crazy, but you have to do it, no matter how crazy it is. Sometimes I don't get it all either. I just talk to God and let Him know how I'm feeling. You can do that too. He will keep teaching you and showing you what He wants you to do and how He wants you to do it. I believe this movie is just God's way of teaching you that He is in charge and that you can trust Him. He's got big plans for you, way bigger than anything you can do by yourself. So stop stressing and just rest, Lena. Now, you need to get some sleep, and so do I. Morning will be here before we know it. I lay there quietly next to Mom. I tossed to the right. She rolled to the left. I kicked one leg from underneath her blankets, and she pulled the comforter up close under her chin. Mom exhaled and smacked her lips together. I inhaled and rubbed my eyes. We each twitched, squirmed, and struggled to find sleep again. Finally, it became clear that neither of us would get any rest like this. Even though my brain was still full of thoughts, the house felt lonely, and my stomach now felt empty. I headed back to my own bed, feeling grateful for our talk. I needed to process all Mom had to say. I picked up my little black book. Dear God, lately it always feels like Mom and even Dad are talking in code. I wish they would just tell me exactly what to do and make all these confusing words go away. I bet Mallory is not up stressing about being in a movie. She's probably resting. Well, I want to rest too. But how can I, when there is so much new stuff happening and so much pressure to do it right? Resting should be easy, but this is hard. Does Mom mean don't work hard? That can't be. She always tells me to work hard and to do my best. Can you please tell me how I am supposed to trust you, do something crazy,
and relax all at the same time? And why do I need to learn all this now? I just want to become besties with Mallory. I really want to relax right now. Chapter 10. The next sound I heard was my little clock buzzing next to my bed, letting me know it was time to get up. Mom, it's time to get up! I called from my bedroom. Okay, I'm up, she said twice, once to convince me, and I think the other was to convince herself. It was 7 o'clock, and I was scheduled to arrive on set at 8 a.m. sharp. Mom, please hurry. We are going to be late. I hurried out of bed and headed across the hall to my bathroom to brush my teeth. Mom lay still for a few more seconds before I finally heard her start to move around. While swishing the minty blue mouthwash around in my mouth for a few more seconds, I pictured Ansley, Ashton, and Amber running around getting ready for school. I wondered what they had eaten for breakfast and if they had a chance to play with Austin first. Poor Austin. He must have been so sad and worried when he didn't see me heading out with the others this morning. Lena! Mom was standing at my door. To my surprise, she was smiling. It's Daddy! He wants to FaceTime. My ears perked up, and I felt a wave of energy swarm its way into each of my tired limbs. I emptied my mouth while grabbing the phone right out of Mom's hand. Good morning, sleepyhead, Dad said while smiling from ear to ear. Hi, Daddy, I squealed. Dad continued, So, I heard you had quite an introduction yesterday and that your hair had a traumatic experience while flying. Oh, Daddy, I chuckled. It was terrible. I started to laugh uncontrollably while attempting to fill him in on every single detail. He laughed right along with me. Dad always had a way of making me laugh at myself. None of it seemed so bad after hearing him joke about it. Dad gathered himself and said, Okay, let me pray over you and Mom before you go. Today is going to be great. Remember who has you there. Then he prayed. Dear God, I thank you for Lena. You created her strong and beautiful on the outside and on the inside. I pray that when people meet and see her, they see you first. Lord, continue to build your character in her. As Galatians 5 says, I pray that she will be full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In Jesus' name. Amen, I chimed in. Seeing Dad's face and praying with him was exactly what Mom and I needed to get us ready for the day. Within a few moments, we were both fully dressed and ready to go. Mom was told there would be a car outside of our house waiting. We ran toward the front door, excited to begin this new adventure. Oh, Mom said as she opened the front door and spotted a bright yellow spaceship-looking vehicle that was sitting right outside our new home. My mom looked at me, and I knew exactly what she was thinking. It was hideous. It looked as if the windows and lights had been put on backwards. The lights were little squares, while the windows reminded me of the large bubbles I once made during a science experiment. The front of the car looked like a box, and the back looked smashed. Whether we liked it or not, we were going to have to drive that thing around all summer. Mom tried to pretend it wasn't that bad and told me to be grateful that we even had a car. I tried my best not to, but it was pretty hard not to laugh at that thought. I was certain that people driving by us would be laughing, too. We hopped in, buckled up, and just when I thought we were ready to pull off, Mom opened her navy blue plastic folder with all the information we needed. She used her pointer finger to skim through a lot of small printed words. She began rambling. Okay, so today we need to go right to the studio. It should only take us 7 minutes to get there. What time is it? It's 7:49. Okay, great. You will be right on time. You will not go here every day because they will film at different locations. Sometimes a car will pick you up. Wardrobe. Scene one. Her voice trailed off, and she started to sound like she was chewing 6 gumballs underwater. I no longer had any idea what she was talking about. Mom, I can't understand you. I tried to stay calmly, even though I could feel myself getting a little frustrated. I took a deep breath and waited patiently for her to finish. She mumbled for a few more seconds, and my ears perked up when I heard her say words like hair, makeup, and breakfast. Once she was finished, she tossed the folder into my lap. I smiled and opened the folder myself. I read each line carefully as Mom typed an address in her phone's GPS, adjusted her mirrors, and looked out her side window. Just before she pushed the gas pedal, she blurted, "Blast off!" We basically giggled all the way to the studio. I needed to laugh to keep my brain from thinking too much. I had no idea what to expect, and feelings of panic and pure terror were trying to take over my brain. No matter how hard I tried to imagine everything ahead, I just could not. We pulled into the dark, winding three-floor parking garage and found an empty spot right near some glass doors. "Thank you, Lord," Mom said with a sigh of relief. She parked the car and hopped right out. I didn't move. Our eyes met through the car window and she said, "Well, what are you waiting for? Come on." "Here we go." I hesitated before using my black and white high-top Converse to push the door open. Mom grabbed my hand and we headed toward the entrance. We were about 10 footsteps away when the glass doors flung open and a girl dressed all in black came racing toward us. "Lena?" she asked. I felt my mom squeeze my hand as I nodded. The girl was moving fast. She flung her arms around me and squealed, "So fun to finally meet you! I'm KV, and I'm a production assistant. Well, I'm actually just an intern. I'm basically here to make sure you get where you need to be, when you need to be there, and help you with anything else you need." She barely took a breath, so Mom and I just stood still and listened. "Come on, let's get you in here before you are late." We followed her through the doors, down a tiny hallway, and into a large classroom. It was nothing like I expected. "What kind of movie set is this?" I said to myself. I looked at Mom, and she gave me her "It's okay, Lena" smile. People were sitting at a really big white U-shaped table with plates of food and papers spread out in front of them. As we stepped through the door, KB announced, "Hey everyone, here's Lena!" There was an immediate uproar, and everyone was smiling, cheering, and saying things to me. Things like, "I'm Michael. Sit here." And, "Aw, you're so adorable." If I could have disappeared at that very moment, I would have. Despite what I was feeling, I mimicked Mom's expression and plastered the biggest smile possible on my face while the crowd continued to examine me. I heard a voice from behind me. I turned around and was greeted by a massive outstretched hand and a friendly smile. "Hi, Lena. I'm David Fenway. We are so glad you are here." I reluctantly held out my sweaty palm and prayed he didn't notice how nervous I was. "How is it going so far? Everything okay with the house and the car and your flights?" A picture of the yellow spaceship flashed across my mind and I smiled. "Yes, sir. Everything is great." "So glad to hear it. Today should be fun. After the meeting, I want you and Mallory to stick around. We'll go over your first scene." He motioned to the right and told me to grab something to eat before we started. I followed his gesture and could not believe my eyes. There was a huge table covered with brown sugar-coated blueberry muffins, bowls of fluffy pink yogurt, gorgeous mounds of assorted fruit, and rows of sprinkle-covered donuts, which of course made me feel right at home. I dashed right over, grabbed a few of my favorite things, and found the empty seat right next to Mallory. She wrapped one arm around my shoulders as I sat down and gave me a little squeeze. So far, so good, I thought. I pulled out the navy folder Mom had given me in the car, my pink and white striped notepad, and my "I Love Paris" pen. I was ready for whatever was next, even if it meant nonstop talking for an hour. Mr. Fenway led the discussion on dates, deadlines, lights, props, and a lot of other things. He passed out huge white binders which contained the script, schedule, and important phone numbers. I was trying really hard to keep up, but mostly I had no idea what they were talking about. He discussed the filming process and confirmed everything Mallory had already told me and Mom. The movie would film over several weeks in different locations within the surrounding cities. He explained the filming process just like Mallory had, and I am not sure that Mom or I understood it any better. He wanted us to know that it may seem weird, but we would film the end of the movie first because that location was already available. We would then work our way backwards and film different scenes because they film based on location instead of timeline. When I heard this, I drew a huge question mark across the first page of my binder. Mallory chuckled. As the room emptied out, I sat alone at the big white table, nervously waiting for my next directions. Mom was in the hall talking, and I was pretending to look over the script. After a few minutes, Mallory came back and joined me. "Phew," she said as she took a seat. "You okay, Lena?" Mallory pulled out her phone and started to flip through her messages. I tried really hard to think of something to say, but all that came out was, "Yep." After a few seconds of awkward silence, Mr. Fenway hurried over to join us. I'm not sure how much coffee he had during the meeting, but his voice was loud and full of energy. "Lena Daniels and Mallory Winston." He was standing over the top of us. His smile was just as loud as his words. "Are you both ready to have some fun? We're making a movie." Mallory jumped to her feet. "Yes, sir, we are." I hopped up and tried to match their excitement. "I'm ready, too." The words sat in the air for a few seconds, and I felt silly. Mr. Fenway rubbed his hands together, bit his bottom lip, and scanned the big empty room. He started to speak. "Where should we start?" Both Mallory and I watched and listened without interrupting his thoughts. "Let's just stay here and read over your first scene together. Then I'll take you over to the set and give you a little tour. How's that sound?"
"Perfect."
"Yep, perfect," I agreed.
"Okay, we will start from page 196, all the way toward the back of your notebook. When you come tomorrow, you won't need to bring the book. KB will have sides for you."
"Sides?" Mallory questioned.
"Oh, yes, you will get those daily. Just a small piece of paper with all the information that you need for the day, like times, scenes, and lines. Lena, KB will probably email them to your mom the night before and then just give you a copy when you get here as well."
I smiled. Something about Mr. Fenway made me feel comfortable and calm. He didn't look like I'd imagined him. He was wearing a pair of jeans and a plain yellow t-shirt. His outfit reminded me of my dad. His voice was soothing, and Mallory and I both followed every direction he gave. By the time we finished practicing our lines, I felt better prepared and more excited. When I told Mom all about it later that night, she simply looked at me and said, "See? Just relax." I wasn't completely convinced, but I was starting to feel more relaxed. Hello, stars. Today was so much better than I imagined. Mr. Fenway is super nice, and so is everyone else. Best of all, I got to spend a lot of time with Mallory. I am so happy now and super excited for tomorrow. Dear God, can you please keep showing me how to relax and trust you? It feels so much better when I do. God, thank you for a good day. Chapter 11.
Good morning, everyone.
Mr. Fenway started every day the exact same way. He stood in the middle of the floor wearing a pair of bulky black headphones around his neck, holding a handful of papers. He always looked busy, but he never seemed to be in a rush. Somehow, he managed to focus his eyes and attention on everyone in the room at the same time. He began by reminding everyone what scene we were working on. Next, he would point out a few notes regarding the schedule right before he asked us all to join hands for prayer. I love starting each day this way because it reminded me of home. I knew people loved God, but I never thought there were other people who did the same things my family did.
Thank you, everyone, for a phenomenal week.
Mr. Fenway began. I could not have asked for a better group of people to work with on this film. When Gina and I produced our first film 7 years ago, we didn't have a lot of resources or people that wanted to help us. Now, when I look around at all of you, I am so grateful. We had no idea that God would do so many amazing things with our little dream of making movies that entire families could enjoy. Mr. Fenway paused and closed his eyes. I sat at a table between my mother and KB and soaked in every detail Mr. Fenway shared. He seemed so relaxed and smart and kind and so different than what I imagined. Whenever I thought of movie sets and directors before, I always thought they must be intense, drive fancy cars, and boss everyone around in order to get what they wanted. Mr. Fenway and his wife Gina were different, and I wanted to understand why. I closed my eyes as Mr. Fenway prayed. Dear God, we are so grateful to you. Thank you for the gifts and talents that you have given us. You always know what is best, and we thank you. God, we know we cannot do anything without your help. So I pray for each person that is part of making this movie. I pray that their relationship with you grows over this summer and that they would see and understand your love for them. Be with us today and for the weeks ahead. Amen. Amen, I said quickly, and in my heart, I knew I wanted exactly what Mr. Fenway had prayed for me. I wanted to understand God's love the way that he did. I opened my eyes and spotted Mallory flouncing through my new circle of friends from across the room. She was chipper as always. Her arms were wide open and she was headed in my direction. Good morning, KB and Lena. She scooped us in close with one big motion. Hey, Mallory. KB easily matched her enthusiasm. Let's get you ladies to hair and makeup and get this day started. As we trotted off towards our designated places, Mom called for my attention. Did you get enough to eat, Lena? Yes, ma'am. I turned to reply. KB gave Mom a thumbs up and we continued on our way. My brain was full of so many thoughts, but I tried to focus on what was next. So, Lena, what do you think about this whole movie thing now that you're here? I love that Mr. Fenway cares so much about the people that work with him. Mallory settled into her chair and waited for the makeup team to get started. I took my seat next to her and thought carefully before answering. It was hard to believe that I'd made it through my first week of making a movie. I had to admit that it wasn't nearly as scary or as hard as I thought it would be. It actually wasn't anything like I thought it would be. No one treated me like I didn't know what I was doing. No one expected me to do everything right. And no one seemed to have all the answers. It felt like I was a part of one big family, and we all needed each other in order for the day to work. I didn't think she wanted to hear everything I was really thinking, so I gave her a quick smile and said, I'm really enjoying it. I like him and Gina a lot. It's like I want to be like them when I grow up. Mallory laughed. That's great, but why wait? You can be like them now, you know? You kind of already are. What do you mean? I asked. I mean, did you ever think that God would do this? Take a dream you had about something you wanted and do something so much bigger and amazing with it. I think so many people's lives will be changed by this movie. Just like the Fenways had a dream, and now look, here we are. I sat very still for a moment. I didn't know if I should tell Mallory that this movie thing actually hadn't ever been my dream. Lena, the same way God helped make the Fenways' dream come true by guiding them to making movies is the same thing God is doing for each of us. You don't have to wait until you're grown up. God's using you now through this movie. Wow, I never really thought about it that way. Can I tell you something, Mallory? Yep. Mallory answered without hesitating. I never actually had a dream to be in a movie. I had never even thought about it before you posted your video. Wow! So what made you want to audition then? Well, I really just wanted to meet you. Now I felt silly. Lena, I love that. God knows things that we don't, so sometimes he uses the things we like or love in order to make his plans happen. So you thought you just wanted to meet me, but God wanted people to meet him through you. Wow, that's so weird to think about. I'm just happy I am getting to learn from Mr. Fenway and Gina and you and everyone else. Last week, I was so scared that I almost didn't come. But now I am so glad I didn't let that stop me. I'm really glad I'm here. Aw, me too. Mallory replied with her air hug, but kept her eyes open and looking directly at me. I felt weird, and I needed to say something to distract her sentimental stare. So, my dad and my sisters come tonight, I blurted out randomly. Aw, yay! That's great. I can't wait to meet them. I'm sure they are awesome, just like you. Lena, KB called out. They just called for you. Are you ready? Phew. I guess it was good that hair and makeup people were great at what they do and could do their jobs while we chatted about things like dreams and stuff. Mr. Fenway walked into the room and hustled over to our chairs. He stooped down until we were eye level. Lena, today we are going to shoot the scene where you meet Mallory for the first time. You are at the hospital. Remember, you are really sad and feeling lonely. Your family just received the news about your grandmother's illness. Okay, I said. He turned and looked at Mallory. You'll be shooting another scene next door. Gina has a team over there and will give your directions. Head on over when you're finished here. None of what Mr. Fenway said made any sense to me, but Mallory nodded and so did I. I followed him to the area where we would be filming. It was a large, empty room with three rectangular tables sitting in the middle. Each table had a tiny clear vase, each with one white-petaled flower. There were about eight chairs at each table, and they were all empty. Mr. Fenway pointed to the one he wanted me to sit in. There was the usual group of crew members hurrying around to set up the lights and cameras, and everyone was acting normal, but I was confused. I glanced down at my sides to make sure I knew what scene Mr. Fenway was preparing for. Just as he explained, the paper read, "Natalie meets Jennifer for the first time." But why is Mallory headed to film next door? Normally, I don't ask a lot of questions, but I had to know how this was going to work. I could not possibly film a scene with Mallory without Mallory being there. Oh, good question, Mr. Fenway chuckled, and I exhaled. We will film her portion of this scene later on today. We are just going to get a few close shots of you. You will be pretending to talk to her. You know when you watch a show and two characters are sitting close and talking, but you only see one? I nodded. Well, this is how they do it. We can get more done in less time if, while we film your close-ups, we have Mallory filming another one of her scenes somewhere else, instead of having her just sit here and watch. Oh, I see. Perfect. Now let's get going. As soon as I say action, I want you to say your first line and look up. That way, it will look as though Mallory is just walking over to the table. Got it? As soon as he finished, he stood up and walked away. I sat up straight in my chair and looked straight up, just like he'd told me. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see the camera gliding closer to my face. My eyes really wanted to move, but I remembered to never look at the camera. I repeated my line, "I can't believe this is happening," and waited for my next instructions. "Cut!" I heard Mr. Fenway yell. Then I saw him whisper to the man holding the really long stick with a dangling light over my head. The light wiggled a bit when the man shifted from his left foot to his right, inched forward a smidgen, and then found his balance once again. We repeated this scene for the next hour until finally the microphone, the light, my pretend stare, and the invisible Mallory all worked together perfectly. I was so relieved to hear Mr. Fenway finally yell, "We got it!" "Lena, good work. You are free for about an hour or so. Your movie mom and dad will be on set today, and we will film your first scene with them. Then call it a day. Stay close. KB will grab you when we're ready." Perfect. I raced off and headed back to the hair and makeup room. I was hoping Mallory was back, but she wasn't. I twiddled my thumbs, looked around the empty room, and considered my options. My little black book peeked through the open zipper of my book bag, so I pulled it out, found a comfy corner, and decided I needed to go ahead and empty my brain. I learned so much in the past 3 hours, and if I didn't write it down, I was sure I would forget it. Hello there, stars. I'm feeling really good today. I'm so glad God gave me this opportunity. So far, it's been really great. I'm glad I decided to come and be a part of it. Mr. Fenway is so nice. I'm glad he's not mean and bossy like I thought he would be. I would be absolutely, positively miserable if he was. God, you really do know what you are doing. Even when I don't understand exactly what's going on, you always have it under control. It's kind of like filming a scene with Mallory without her being there. I can't see the whole picture now, but later on, when Mr. Fenway puts everything together, it will be great. I think that's what my life is like. Once you put all the pieces together, it will be great. I could get used to this making a movie thing. Chapter 12. Lena! 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 I knew someone was calling my name, but I was in that awkward space between being slightly awake but still dreaming, too. I could not tell if it was a baby squirrel's voice or an actual person that I heard until I felt the pressure of a tiny little body easing its way next to me. Lena, can I sleep with you? It was Ashton. Even with my eyes practically shut, I could see that the little purple hand on my alarm clock was pretty close to the 7. Ashton had only beat my alarm by a few minutes. I rolled over and welcomed her in. Of course, Amber was just a few steps behind and inserted herself right between me and Ashton. We shuffled a few blankets around and tried to get comfortable. Ansley heard the commotion, and in a matter of seconds, we were all wide awake. It had been a long weekend with touring our new city and filling Dad in on everything I had already done. I needed to be on set in just a few hours and didn't want to be awake yet. I remembered how lonely the room felt before my sisters got here, so now that they were, I was excited to spend time with them. Guys, I started, I have to be up in a few minutes anyway. So, Lena, what do you do there all day anyway? Ansley made her way across the room, jumped into my bed, and landed on my ankles. Well, let's see. As soon as I get there, KB meets me at the door. You guys met her at dinner on Saturday. She's the really funny one with the pink hair. She tells me what to do, but not in a mean way. Mr. Fenway is like the big boss, but KB is in charge of getting me places and making sure I'm on time and know what to do. Once I started talking, I couldn't stop. There are so many people around. You can't really see them when we're filming, but there are people holding the lights and doing all sorts of things with the sound. I wear a little microphone on my waist. It looks cool, but it's actually a little annoying when you have to use the restroom. And guys, I kept going. There is a whole rack of clothes that they bought just for me. We call that wardrobe. So as soon as I get on set, KB takes me to wardrobe. I paused. Well, actually, no. She normally takes me to hair and makeup. Did you know I get to wear makeup? They put a clear powder on my face, something shiny on my eyebrows, and they always make sure my lips match my shirt. That part's so fun. Lena? 1 second, Ashton. When I first get there, we have a meeting, but it's sort of like a devotional time, too. We stand in a circle and hold hands just like Dad does with us at home. Aw, that's so fun. When I'm your age, can I be in a movie too? Ansley crawled up my legs until we were face to face. Yup. Just talk to God about it. He has fun stuff planned for you too. Like you did? Amber asked. Yeah. But I don't think I did a good job at first. You can't do a bad job talking to God, can you? Amber's question made me think. I wasn't sure how to answer. Let's ask Dad later, I said. Right now, I want you to tell me about school last week. What did I miss? Amber, Ashton, and Ansley started describing every detail that I'd missed. I was surprised when she said that Miss Blunt had asked about me and told them to tell me to have a great time. I didn't even think she would notice I was gone. Hearing that she did made my heart happier than I wanted to admit. When Ansley started telling me about the chicks, I laughed until my stomach hurt. She explained how they escaped again and ended up in the hall. She even got out of the bed and pretended to be Mr. Lipscomb, running down the hall chasing them. I wish so badly that I could have seen that. Amber added that, on the very last day, Mr. Lipscomb announced that this summer he was going to build a chicken coop outside for them since they were getting too big for his classroom. He was also starting a program to give the eggs away to families who needed them. I closed my eyes and pretended I was there. The longer I laughed and listened, the more my mind started to think that maybe being away wasn't as exciting as it had seemed. My sisters were having so much fun sharing their memories that I didn't want to interrupt them, but I was doing my best to keep smiling. The tears were starting to well up in my eyes, and I tried hard to make them stop. I missed being home. My little alarm clock started buzzing. I needed to get up and get ready for the day. I hopped out of bed and left Ansley, Amber, and Ashley to continue their conversation without me. They didn't even seem to notice I'd left. My morning routine had become quite simple. I'd figured out a way to get ready in just a matter of minutes. I brushed my teeth, pulled my hair into a big bun, and threw on a pair of gym shorts, a t-shirt, and blue and silver flip-flops. "Ready," I announced. Dad met me in the kitchen with a smile. "So, Lena, this is fun, huh?" "You don't have to do anything in the morning, not even eat. They take care of all of that for you now that you're a big star." I fell into Dad's arms and laughed. It was true, they did take care of me, but I definitely did not feel like a big star. "Have you seen the car, Daddy?" I asked while trying to hold back the laughter. "Would they make a big star drive that?" Dad laughed until his body folded in half. He could barely breathe, and I didn't blame him. Even after driving around in it for a week, I still thought it was just as hideous as the first day I saw it. Slowly, everyone trickled into the kitchen, and I was reminded of Amber's question. I wasn't sure what scripture Dad was going to read to us this morning, but now was the perfect time to ask him about talking to God. "Daddy, you know how I prayed about being in this movie, but then I still cried and worried a lot?"
"Yes."
"Does that mean I did a bad job of talking to God?"
"Oh, no, baby. You can never do a bad job when you talk to God."
Dad reached across the countertop for his black Bible. He opened it, flipped a few pages, and handed it to me to read. "Read 1 Chronicles 16:11 to us. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually." I read the words out loud and then said it once again in my head. This verse didn't say anything about prayer, so I wasn't sure he had understood the question. Without God, we do a bad job at everything. So God wants us to seek him, to talk to him about everything. He doesn't expect us to have and do everything right without him. So no, you did not do a bad job. You did the right thing by seeking him, even when you didn't understand everything. A bad job would be not talking to God at all. Watching Dad talk to us reminded me of Mr. Fenway. Dad had the same look in his eyes, and even though there were four of us plus Mom, it always seemed like his eyes and attention were on each of us equally. Dad squatted in front of us and spoke softly. "Girls, I never want you to think that you have to figure things out on your own. You can't make the right decisions, choose the right friends, and fix your life all by yourself, okay? Mommy and Daddy are here, but even more than that, God is here. Ask him for help and keep him close in your heart. Seek him, okay?"
"Okay, Daddy." Ashton looked around briefly before blurting out, "Can we eat now?"
"Of course," Dad smiled. He stood up straight and gently tapped Ashton on top of her head. Mom and I hugged everyone and left. For most of the ride, I thought about everything my sisters had reminded me that I missed.
I had been so busy learning everything I needed to know for the summer that I had not even had a chance to think about school, the awards banquet, or anything else. I remembered how I'd been counting down to summer, and now none of it mattered. I thought about maybe counting down till school starts, but thankfully, that thought didn't last long. I wasn't ready for school, but I definitely wanted home. I missed Emma and Savannah. For the rest of the day, I couldn't help but let my thoughts wander. I even told KB how I was feeling. I didn't really think she would even hear me. She was actually listening for my cue as we stood face to face in a tiny hallway with red walls and no windows behind one of the biggest cameras I'd ever seen. I was needed on set in just a few minutes. While we waited, I whispered, "I really miss my friends." I was a little surprised when she responded, "Lena, you'll see them soon, just a few more weeks, and you have lots of new friends here too." She was right. I did have a lot of new friends, but that did not stop me from missing my other ones. I was starting to think that no matter how great things got, I would always miss my old life. Dear stars, why did I even bother to tell KB how I felt? I knew she wouldn't understand. She and Mallory are always so chipper and excited. Feeling sad around them made me feel guilty. I know I'll see them soon, but 7 weeks is a long time, and I miss Emma and Savannah. That doesn't mean that I don't like the people here, though, does it? God, can you make the time go by a little faster? And can you help me not to be miserable when I think of home, but to be happy with all the new friends and people I am meeting? Thanks.
Chapter 13.
"We're halfway there,"
I gasped. I could not believe my ears when Mr. Finway made this announcement in our morning meeting. I'm not sure how God did it, but it really felt like the time was going by fast. I'd filmed on a playground, in two different homes, and even a car with a camera attached to it while driving on the highway. I'd also started helping some of the crew members with collecting light bulbs, finding props, and adjusting the sound. Every day was a new adventure, and I'd learned a lot about making movies and new friends. This week, we were filming in an actual hospital, and things were starting to feel a little different. I could tell Mr. Finway was trying to sound encouraging, but his voice was raspier than normal and his eyes looked tired. This week was hard. We'd gotten to the part in the movie where my movie family has to deal with really sad news, and the characters are just starting to seek God more in their lives. Mr. Finway asked everyone on set to pray that what was happening in the movie would also happen to the people who watched in real life. I had been praying for that every night, for everyone that watched the movie, and even for myself. Even though everyone was acting, 4 long days with no laughter and forced tears were affecting the usual level of enthusiasm on our team. I was ready for the weekend. KB could tell that I was getting a little bored with all the serious and sad scenes, so she tried to find different ways to keep me entertained. She taught me new card games. We explored the building together and ventured outside to the food trucks that were located outside of the hospital. Whenever I wasn't needed, KB would sneak me out to grab some yummy snacks. When Mr. Finway finally yelled, "Cut! We've got it!" today, no one cheered louder than me. I headed straight to my dressing room, removed all of my jewelry, and switched out of my movie clothes before KB could even catch up. "See you tomorrow, Kay," I called as I whisked past her and headed out the door to meet Mom. On the short ride home, in our little spaceship wagon, Mom and I discussed the day. I did most of the talking. I told her everyone had been really sad and quiet all day. She didn't say much, but assured me that by Monday, everyone would be back to normal. Just before we pulled up to the house, she leaned over and said, "I have something that will make you happy. Someone's waiting for you tonight." "Amber, Ansley, and Ashton?" I asked. I would love it if they were not ready for bed yet and we could get ready together. She bit her lip like she does when she's trying to hold onto the flavor of something delicious.
Daddy, a movie night? I probed. Maybe he wanted to have a super fun family night.
Mom kept quiet. I could see that she was determined not to say a word. I hopped out and ran to the door as fast as I could. Ashton opened it before I could even put my hand on the doorknob. Her smile was huge and her eyes were full of anticipation. She used her pointer finger to direct my attention to her left. My surprise was waiting against the wall.
Ah!
I shrieked. I could not believe my eyes. Standing right in front of me were Savannah and Emma. All six of our arms went flying into the air until they finally landed around each other's necks. We left them there for at least 60 seconds. Austin was barking and jumping on my waist. He was trying his best to join our reunion, but none of us wanted to let go.
I missed you guys so much, I shouted.
Our arms fell to our sides, but our hands all linked with one another's. Huddled together, hand in hand, we skipped into the living room. It felt so strange, so exciting, so normal. I sat quietly for a few seconds and just stared at them both. Having my friends here felt like a dream, and I was waiting for someone to pinch me. Austin must have read my mind because he charged toward us, jumped on my lap, and nibbled on my kneecaps.
Ouch, Austin!
Emma and Savannah looked the same, but darker. I knew they were just returning from Savannah's family vacation in Mexico. The vacation I was supposed to have been on with them. Savannah's skin had turned from its normal golden color to a dark summer bronze glow. She had her curly, sand-colored hair pulled back behind a white headband to match her white tank top and blue volleyball shorts. Unlike Emma, Savannah always matched. Emma was wearing a pair of old jeans that she'd cut and created shorts from last summer, with her purple and white striped knee socks, a neon orange t-shirt with a huge yellow emoji, wearing glasses and the word nerd plastered across the middle. She had one long hot pink braid cascading from the top of her head to her shoulder.
Mexico?
I said.
Yup.
She shifted her eyes quickly. I knew she was trying to be sensitive to my feelings. Missing Mexico was definitely a bummer for me.
Guys, we have so much to talk about,
Savannah interrupted as she pulled her knees up tighter and curled up on the couch between us. I reached behind our heads and pulled down a small cream blanket and tossed it over our legs. Austin bounced from my knees to my friends and back again. I felt a smile creep across my face. I may have missed Mexico, but at least now we were all together. I knew I missed Emma's craziness and Savannah's ability to make sense out of it, but sitting with our knees practically on top of each other made me realize just how much.
So, Lena, how's it feel to be a movie star? Are you and Mallory like best friends now?
Emma picked up on Savannah's attempt to shift the conversation and decided to help.
Oh no, I'm not a movie star. Mallory is great, though. You will really like her. But I don't want to talk about that right now.
Lena, we have to. I want to know what it's like. Do you have a fancy dressing room with a gold star and your name sketched across the door? I sat silently and let Savannah continue.
Ooh, I bet you will start getting fan mail and gifts from strangers who want your autograph. Lena, pretty soon you will need a bodyguard.
Once Emma finished describing what she thought my life had become, she and Savannah gawked at me and waited for some sort of confirmation that Emma was on the right track. I sat quietly, refusing to participate. I tilted my head down and shook it from side to side. I didn't want to talk about the movie. I wanted to pretend that we were back in Texas and had spent the last 4 weeks swimming, hanging out at each other's houses, watching hours and hours of our favorite shows while dancing around in our socks during the commercial breaks.
Girls,
I was glad to hear Mom's voice. It's already been a long day for everyone, so before you get too comfortable, take your showers and put your PJs on. That way, you can talk for the rest of the evening until bedtime. Mom poked her head from behind the way, leading to the kitchen. You will have all weekend to catch up and giggle, she added. I was ready to switch topics, but I didn't want to move. But I also knew Mom was right. Once we started talking, it would be hard to get us to stop. We all jumped up together. I headed toward my bedroom, and Savannah and Emma went toward the guest room. I heard Ashton and Amber follow them. "Leave them alone so they can get changed, guys," I shouted playfully, even though I knew they wouldn't listen. Emma and Savannah are like sisters to them, too. Let's hurry. About 7 minutes later, we were all mostly dressed the exact same way. Colorful, fuzzy socks, big t-shirts, and gym shorts. This had been our sleepover uniform since the third grade, and we each happily embraced it. We returned to the living room and helped Mom set bowls of popcorn, chocolate pretzels, Skittles, and drinks on the little table in front of the TV. I had eaten dinner on set before shooting the last scene, and Emma and Savannah had eaten on their flight. Mom said the snacks were just for fun. Ansley, Ashton, and Amber begged to stay up with us. Mom agreed that they could as long as they didn't get too hyper from the candy. I didn't think it was a good idea, but I was way too happy to ruin it for everyone else. We each found our perfect spot on the couch. Of course, Austin plopped himself directly between our feet and the table. He watched carefully and followed our fingers with his nose as we grabbed handfuls of snacks. He was hoping to catch an occasional kernel or a crumb. After a few seconds of disappointment, I watched as he leaned back on all four of his paws and pounced toward the table at full speed. "Austin!" I screamed as he landed with one paw planted right in the middle of the bowl of rainbow-colored candies. Amber jumped up and tried to grab him just as he dove nose first for the chocolate. We all watched as he escaped her grasp and darted to the other end of the table, wiggled his bottom from side to side, and jumped off. Skittles and popcorn scattered everywhere, and Austin landed flat on his belly and stayed put as if his failed table attack had never happened. Suddenly, we all started laughing hysterically at the scene in front of us. Amber stood over Austin with one hand on each hip, attempting to correct him. "No, Austin!" she shouted. Austin raised his head briefly, turned, and flopped back down on the other side. "Lena, the runaway chicks must have taught Austin their moves," Emma said, and we laughed even harder. "Emma, why don't you show us your new tricks? You know, the ones you learned in volleyball camp," Savannah teased. Emma's cheeks turned a deep shade of red. She smiled big and jumped to her feet. "Savannah," she shouted, pretending to be upset. "Ooh, show me," I begged. Suddenly, Emma was pretending to hit a ball with the backside of her wrist and shuffling her feet awkwardly across the middle of the floor, dodging the table and the TV. She could barely control her own laughter, and we couldn't help but join her. I laughed until tears formed in my eyes and the muscles in my belly started to ache. "You almost got it, Emma," Savannah encouraged her. Emma stopped moving and tried to catch her breath. "Savannah, maybe you can train me now that you're on the Huskies." "You made the team," I cheered. The Huskies were a special volleyball team that you had to be invited to play with. Savannah had been wanting to play with them for 2 years, so I was really happy to know she'd made it. Emma returned to her cozy spot and let out a sigh. "We've missed you, Lena." I smiled and leaned forward. "Okay, what else have I missed? Tell me everything." I listened to every word and watched every hand gesture, smile, and eye roll. I may have been missing the entire summer with my friends, but I was determined to not feel like an outsider. As they talked about home, I pretended I was there the same way I had when my sisters told me about Mr. Lipscomb and the chicks. I loved the way it felt. I was just getting ready to hear all about Mexico when Mom came running into the room with Dad just footsteps behind her. "Lena, Lena, Mr. Fenway just called. Turn on Channel 9. Remember the interview you did last week? They are showing it now." Dad grabbed the remote and started flipping through the channels. He found Channel 9 just in time to see my face, along with Mallory's, plastered all over the screen. I was mortified. My legs started to tremble. My sweaty palms were shaking, and my skin felt like it was on fire. Everything in my stomach gathered into one large lump, and I thought I was going to be sick. It was just so big. My face. I had to look closer to make sure it was really me. Unfortunately, it really was me, and from that moment on, I felt like I'd lost my friends all over again. Savannah screamed. Emma jumped up and started spinning in her polka dot socks, and even Austin began barking uncontrollably. Dad pulled out his phone and started recording the interview, the scene that was taking place in our home, and himself. Mom started texting all of her friends. It was complete chaos. "Guys, guys, please stop," I begged. "It's really not that big of a deal." "Lena, yes it is." Emma reached down and attempted to pull me off the couch. "Guys, be quiet. They are talking about Lena now," Ansley shouted. Everyone immediately stopped jumping, dancing, and talking and glued their eyes to the television screen. They were so focused on what I was saying on the screen that they didn't even notice when I slipped out of the room. I was so disappointed. I finally had my friends with me, and for a little while, it felt like nothing had changed. I thought God had answered every part of my prayer. My old life had been back for a few moments, and now it was gone again. "Hello, God. This movie keeps changing everything. I was so happy to see my friends, but now that they are here, all they want to talk about is the movie. Actually, it seems like you're the only one that doesn't care whether I talk about the movie. It's taking over my life. It's all everyone has talked about for 4 weeks now. I need a break. God, I know you are the one who put me here, and I know that I am supposed to have crazy faith like Peter. I'm supposed to trust your plan like you told the Israelites in Jeremiah to do. And I'm supposed to see you and everything. But right now, I just want to be normal. If this is how people are going to treat me from now on, then I don't want it anymore. I want my friends back, and I want to just be normal. I just want to be Lena."